Who is this guy? He calls himself Dr. Doctor, and he thinks he knows something about the Bible. Let's see if he really does.
Hello, and welcome to the sixth program of the Ask Dr. Doctrine radio show. Today's program is being aired on February 18th, 2016, and is on the topic of dispensationalism, or how to interpret the Bible historically. In our last week's radio program, my wife Debbie and I shared our testimonies of how we came to know Jesus. I was born in a small town in Germany and came to the U.S. when I was just 8. After high school, I joined the Army and came to know the Lord there. Debbie, who was raised in California, was saved after a near-death, out-of-body experience. You can hear both of our testimonies by going to www.missionsradio.org and clicking on the Apple or Google Play link. If the Apple link doesn't download the app, it's because it'll be ready in a couple of days. Please try again then. In the meantime, go to missionsradio.org and listen on the Listen Now link or podcasts link to listen to our past shows like last week's testimony. Today's show builds on sequential shows related to doctrine. In past radio shows, we uncovered some of the most important critical teachings of doctrines in the Bible. We call these the foundations of our faith, or the fundamental doctrines of the Bible. We also discussed who God is, or theology proper. Then we reviewed the reliability of the Bible as being the authentic, from God, and reliable for application of life, Word of God. That was the doctrine or teaching of the foundational truth of the Bible itself as the Word of God, or bibliology, the study of the Bible. Finally, we looked at hermeneutics, or how to study the Bible correctly and understand its verses in context. Now, today's program is called Dispensationalism. Today, you'll hear a lot of historical facts based on Bible verses, but you will not hear many Bible verses quoted. This is because we're going to focus on the overall history of the Bible instead of specific verses. However, this historical content must be used as background information when interpreting scriptures in historical context. Today's program builds upon the last show on doctrine called Hermeneutics. Now, if you want to listen to that show again, just click on podcasts at the missionsradio.org website and select Ask Dr. Doctrine, show number 4, Hermeneutics, or How to Study the Bible Correctly. Now, we are going to delve a little deeper into this area of correct biblical interpretation as we look at the study of dispensationalism. And before we begin, I'd like to begin by saying that there is much disagreement in this area. Some Bible scholars don't really like to divide the Bible up into segments such as dispensationalism supposes. Others like to see only two divisions in the Bible, such as the Old and New Testament, or covenants, as in covenant theology. But I'd like to give this idea of dispensationalism a chance, and I'd like you to give it a chance. So please, listen to the very end of today's show before making up your mind, one way or the other, about this approach to Bible study. You see, although just about any Bible passage can say something to our own practical life today, many of those verses were specifically intended for a particular audience back in the day. Although we can learn great lessons from the interaction, for example, with the snake in the Garden of Eden and how it relates to how we deal with temptation, we have to be very careful to keep in mind the historical context of those verses to the time for which they were specifically written. Dispensational theology recognizes that when we read the Bible, that there are certain historical events that were addressed, and that those verses specifically apply to the people of that day. Again, we can indeed gain principles for daily living from many of these verses that we can adapt to our own lives. But remember, we need to remember to whom these verses were written and what the historical context originally was. So we need to keep this in mind so that we don't get confused when we study the Bible. We are not in the Garden of Eden today. That seems like an obvious statement, but people tend to take verses from there as if we were. We're not in Egypt with the children of Israel today. We're not outside the ark banging on the door, or even inside the ark with Noah, although we do have a picture of being inside Christ there that's applicable today, among other things. And we are not living in the time of Moses, in the time of David, or the Pharisees. We are not presently in the days where Jesus, in the future, will sit on the throne in Jerusalem and rule the world for 1,000 years, are we? We're not in heaven right now, not yet, anyway, are we? So, these are all considered dispensations of time, and we need to distinguish these times and the people to who certain verses directly apply from our present situation in which we now live, that we call the church age. So wouldn't you agree with that? My name is Peter Zakharoff, and I start an online Facebook group called Facebook Seminary, which you can find by typing into your internet web browser, www.facebookseminary.com, and it will link you directly, if you just wait a second, to that particular Facebook page. The official title of the page is Online Seminary, but we'd like to call it Facebook Seminary. So anyway, by typing that into your internet browser, www.facebookseminary.com, this will direct you to the Facebook page where you can comment on over 100 Bible topics, including one on dispensationalism. In the pinned post, if you scroll down, there are links there to all those pages. Actually, they're not pages, they're within the same page, topics or threads. So here on this page, Facebook members discuss the meaning of Bible passages based on sound hermeneutical principles of discovery of Bible meaning. And let me tell you, there's some great people there. Okay, we have some missionaries from around the world, pastors. You can talk with people with PhDs. And here's an example of a Facebook contributor, Brian Lance, a contributor at Facebook. He considers the theological study of dispensations to come under the category of eschatology. However, I personally have considered the study of eschatology to be the study of the last things or the future things. And when we consider the whole of creation, we're talking about a time span that includes the time before creation and after creation. So all of creation and the time before and after, if time really exists in the way that we know it during eternity past and eternity future. But nevertheless, whether you believe in the time divisions of human history or not, Brian says, you have to be a dispensationalist anyway. And he says this because he says, in the ancient world, the born-again believer of the past would celebrate the future promise of the Lamb of God. According to Brian, the Greek term for dispensations is oikonomia. Oikonomia, meaning household. Some have translated this as stewardship. Many Christians have termed this age the age of grace where we presently live, or the age of the church. That's the age or time that we're living in, as opposed to the age of the law back in the day, or the Old Testament sacrifice times. So even the Bible, although the Bible can be divided into two main categories, where there is an absolute abrupt change known as these household or stewardships, as the Old and New Testaments, we can easily distinguish what separates the two. Of course, it's the revelation of Jesus, his birth, his life, suffering, death, burial, resurrection, ascension into heaven. Even that event marks a new chapter in the book of Earth's time. And I think you would agree that there was a time before Jesus, the Old Testament, time after Jesus, the New Testament. So most people, whether they like it or not, really take this view into account. And even after Jesus leaves the earth and ascends into heaven, a new time starts when the Holy Spirit arrives. The church is born. That's the age we're in right now. Brian Lance continues, he says, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was on the earth and he directly ran God's household as the faithful servant. Many of his parables were precisely about that particular time on earth or about this household. This was the time of Israel. And these changes in dispensations that we see are known as progressive immanency. Progressive immanency, according to Brian. See, this means that the imminent presence of God on earth is taking on a different form throughout time. On the one hand, God is speaking in the Garden of Eden, next in a burning bush, next through the prophets and visions, then in the written word through the law, next as a physical presence of Jesus on the earth, and then through the Holy Spirit, and so on. According to Brian Lance, and here's the quote, that allows for progressive revelation to mankind. What is meant by progressive revelation is that there is a progression or ongoing revealing of information about God on earth through time. Brian puts it this way, from the garden to the Noahic flood, that's Noah's flood, God's household was limited to a few patriarchs or leaders until there was such violence upon the earth, only Noah and eight were left. God was not very near to mankind in a fashion that he could demonstrate himself as to who and what he was in a way that he does today or he did when Jesus was on earth, you see? But then, after the flood, as man began to repopulate the earth, we have the book of Job that tells us about the ancient history of this period since the flood and about God's household upon the earth in those days. You see, this time period or dispensation, according to Brian, began again with patriarchs after the flood as a new start to include Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Job, we mentioned, and others as they continued into the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on, Esau, Ammon, Moab, Edom, and others. I'll tell you what, listen, allow me to try to simplify this. As you see, things were different in many ways back in the day, back in the Garden of Eden, than they are today. Those were different times. There are many of these different dispensation time periods throughout the Bible, and in a moment, we will discuss them in more detail, but first, we need to get the overall message about dispensationalism out there in a clear manner that everybody can understand. So here we go. You see, just about anyone who reads the Bible can clearly see these abrupt timeline changes in the history of the Bible. The creation of the world was much different than life in the Garden of Eden. Wouldn't you agree? Think about it. Life in the Garden of Eden was much different than after Adam and Eve got kicked out. Remember? There were curses put on the earth, and everything kind of changed. That's very different than life inside the garden, right? And then we have God getting fed up with man and destroying the whole earth with water. So the time before the flood was different than the time after the flood. Before the flood, millions of souls rebelled against God and drowned. After the flood, there was a godly family on earth and a rainbow. So the surface of the earth had been completely destroyed and rearranged. This is a great example of one dispensation ending and another beginning. Could you see that? Wouldn't you agree? Are you starting to see this concept unraveled or unpackaged, as my pastor in church says? Next, we have the very early days of man populating the earth after the flood. Man was in charge, and God cursed the Tower of Babel, remember that? To bring languages to the world and causing mankind to be dispersed upon the earth in people groups. That was much different also than being in the Garden of Eden and before the flood and creation. I mean, these facts are obvious. There are breaks or divisions in Bible history. I mean, it seems very obvious to me. Doesn't it seem obvious to you? So the dispensations are beginning to reveal themselves here. Next, God calls Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Hebrews are born out of Egypt. The earth once again is populated. But this time, notice I said this time, in this new turn of God's revelation to man, God gives man the law of God through stone tablets, through Moses. Now, man has a clear message from God in writing, shall we say. This begins a new household or stewardship or dispensation of the Old Testament law, which continued to the arrival of David and as king of Israel and so forth until Jesus. Now, Brian Lance goes on to say, and here's another quote, that indeed some were faithful servants and some were very evil. But once the children of Israel left Egypt, we now see another change in God's household as God became nearer and nearer to man, more imminent. We see a new priesthood, a new tabernacle, and a new people emerging. The scriptures say, "For in Isaac shall your seed be called." Gentile patriarchs were no longer used in God's administration of his good news of salvation to mankind as Israel would be. Furthermore, any Gentile that was used of God entered the commonwealth of Israel as a proselyte. In other words, they became a Jew. God commanded mankind to bring all the sacrifices to the temple. Now here's a couple verses. Leviticus 17:7. They shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons after whom they have played the harlot. This shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations. Verse 8. Also, you shall say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice and does not bring it to the door of the tabernacle of meeting to offer it to the Lord, that man shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 10. And whatever man of the household of Israel or of strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood, and I will cut him off from among his people. You see, the single most important purpose to the ministry of the temple of Jesus Christ was this animal sacrifice for the sins of the individual and the nations of Israel. Even as God withheld the hand of Abraham from sacrificing his son, you remember that? So the institutionalizing of animal sacrifice in the temple of Jerusalem was a statement to humanity that animal sacrifice was only acceptable at the temple. Many cultures, religions, and civilizations ignored this mandate and wiped themselves out with human sacrifice, committing genocide, even against their own people, and even in the Americas, according to Brian Lance. That ends his quote. When Jesus came to earth, there is this gray time of transition between the Old and New Testament. Okay? So it's kind of like its own little time period or dispensation. On the one hand, on the one side, you have the law, and Jesus becomes the fulfillment of that law by never having sinned and by fulfilling all the prophecies related to his arrival. So Jesus attempted to become the King of Kings of the Jews, our leader, but what happened? He was expected with a great army, but he was born in a stable, and entered Jerusalem on Pentecost, being welcomed as King of Kings, not on a strong horse, but on a donkey colt. He was a fulfillment of the Old Testament as the King of David on his throne, as a fulfillment. But he was rejected and crucified. You see, that ends that dispensation, and a new one starts. Brian Lance says, Christ became our sacrifice, and the temple ministry of animal sacrifice was no longer required. Furthermore, all the benefits which Israel enjoyed from the temple, the individual believer enjoys today. You see, the Old Testament temple was indwelt with the Shekinah glory of God, but now Jesus dwells in his people. You see the change? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Brian says, you see, Israel enjoyed the Aaronic, that's Aaron, time of Aaron, and Levitical priesthoods. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Clearly, there are divisions in the Bible when it comes to how God deals with mankind. These divisions are called dispensations. Another faithful Facebook seminary contributor, Andrew Beardsley, who is presently serving in the U.S. Navy, begins by pointing out one universal truth that overshadows all of time and that is a single thread that runs through the scriptures upon which all dispensations hinge. And that is found in John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now think of this. Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan to redeem the sin of mankind. Like a scarlet red ribbon, the life and death of Christ streams throughout all mankind from the beginning to the end, weaving God's redemptive plan throughout all of the time periods or dispensations throughout the Bible from the beginning to the end. Do you recall seeing a picture of Jesus in the Garden of Eden as an animal skin was given to Adam and Eve? Genesis 3:21 says, according to the King James Version, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothed them. This redemptive sacrificial line of atonement is seen throughout the scriptures. As Andrew so cleverly pointed out, that the entire Bible rings with this theme. And here's the verse. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. John 5:39. And who is that person identified as me? It is Jesus. Praise the Lord that there are dispensations in the Bible, and that God reveals himself to mankind. So I hope that you have learned some interesting things about how to study the Bible in a historical context, taking into account to whom the verses were written, to whom they were talking, and what the historical situation was. Now, I want to remind you that we can indeed glean great truths from any verse in the Bible that we can apply to our lives. But we have to remember to study the Bible in context. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Help us to study it in historical context. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hi, my name is Debbie Zakharoff. I'm the wife of Dr. Doctrine, Peter Zakharoff. This week we're talking about dispensationalism. The earliest memory I have of reading the Bible was at home with my family, and we would read around the fireplace and read children's devotional books. And it got me to thinking about the proper methods of interpretation. Some people think that interpreting the Bible is relative and dependent upon their own personal preference. Other people think that their church or organization has the only key to interpreting the Bible. To interpret the Bible is very important. Genesis 48 says, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" Simon Peter declared that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation in 2 Peter 1:20. So if interpretations belong only to God, and we are not to privately interpret the Scriptures, how are we to understand and read the Scriptures? The answer is that God has his own Scripture that's without error, inconsistency, or contradiction, and he has laid out a method that guarantees correct interpretation every time. So enjoy reading the Bible, and take it for the way it is. Have a great week, and see you next time. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Peter Zakharoff as Dr. Doctrine. We hope you will tune in again. If you have any questions, just send them on Twitter to @DrDoctrine. We will do our best to answer them on the next show. Also, you may contact us on Facebook. Just type in Dr. Doctrine. Be sure and visit us at onlineseminary.info. Until next time, we wish you a blessed walk with the Lord.